Good morning and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again, friends. And today we do have a guest and I am awaiting his arrival on the air. In the meantime, because the plan is to focus on the immune system, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the factors that does affect our immune system function and strength. So that's what we're going to do. Some simple things that affect our immune system. We know the amount of sugar and sweets that is typically eaten during this season. That's the time when people come down with lots of colds and flus, and no doubt there's some relationship there. But something that most people may not be aware of, the fact that vitamin C boosts the immune system, we know that vitamin C has been a household name for a long time. Vitamin C is important to the immune system function. And when we consider vitamin C, we know that for the greater majority, for most people, it is not assembled within their bodies because of where their body chemistry is. And vitamin C is available if the insulin is in proper ratio, if it's in a proper range, speaking from a body chemistry point of view. But the language that you can understand is that if the body is producing too much insulin, vitamin C will not be assembled, nor will it be available to the system. If it is producing not enough insulin, as in tendencies at least towards high sugar, then vitamin C will also not be available. So the area you can look at, typically if a person is not drinking enough water, vitamin C will not be available to their system, because when you look at that, it's going to impact where the sugar is, which is a reflection of what's going on with the insulin factor dealing with the pancreas. So if a person is not drinking water on a daily basis, their immune system will usually be compromised, as vitamin C is not available, it's not being assembled, etc. Another factor is if the person is in a very acid range within their system. You know, when you look at the urine and you look at the saliva, they're very acid. Then in those instances, vitamin C, at least in the regular form, as in plain ascorbic acid, typically is the acid form of vitamin C, that will not be available to the system. And so, in fact, it can cause a person person's condition to worsen, because their acid and they're taking more acid within, so it's only going to make their system more acid. So vitamin C would not be available, at least not in the form as in ascorbic acid. Now, of course, you have the ester C, you have the buffered C with various different names. Those would be much more available to the system, regardless of whether you're acid or alkaline. So that's a safer one to take when you're not sure what's going on, the buffered C. But if you know that the body chemistry is pretty alkaline, then you can, person can easily benefit by the regular ascorbic acid vitamin C, which supports their system. Now, vitamin C So vitamin C will help to lower a very alkaline system and make the body a little bit more less alkaline towards the acid, which you don't want to go too far acid anyway, because too much acid is no good as too little. Okay, so we need a case, well, while we look at the pHs and see 6.4 as the perfect pH when all the body chemistry number is perfect, but once one number disappears from being perfect, then 6.4 ceases to be perfect because of the relationship that they hold with each number in the equation, which you may not understand what I'm talking about, but if you just imagine a set of number and they're all connected together. So a change in one number becomes a change in the other number. Okay? All right. So we consider that vitamin C lowers the pH if it's too alkaline. Now, one of the thing is, when the pHs end up being too acid, then bone mineral loss is usually on the increase because nature wants to balance off that excess acidity. And so it's going to pull calcium from the bones as well as other minerals from the bone to neutralize the calcium. And so over a period of time, the bone losing so much calcium is going to have problems, and your physician will tell you different names, osteopenia, osteoporosis, and things like that. So you want to then understand that although vitamin C is great, indiscriminately using the regular acid vitamin C is not a wise thing. You see what I'm saying? If you do the fruits and so on that are high in vitamin C, that's even much better, or the buffered vitamin C. And this is a season that we especially need to boost our immune system going on to the winter months. All right. Now, so vitamin C, from that point of view, vitamin C is like the forms the chelating substance which binds cell to cell. So vitamin C, apart from it just dealing with the immune system there, is also very important to hold us together. So without vitamin C, we're going to develop lots of wrinkles and different issues like that. It also results in a deficiency in copper, which copper gives tissue their ability to stretch, the elasticity. And so copper becomes an important mineral and in complex with the C there. Copper in trees does the same thing, or in all biological life. Copper gives tissue their ability to stretch, the elasticity. And so you can even imagine now, in the case of hardening of the arteries, you can even imagine, because what we have talked about in previous program, we mentioned that there is the cracks and lesions that develop in the blood vessel walls. Now, Dr. Matthias Rath, in his research and his publication, Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks But Humans Do, he traces the process and come to the conclusion is because an animal, you get vitamin C, animal assemble vitamin C, but in his understanding, saying human body, vitamin C is not assembled, and so on. And so he says that is the reason why cracks and lesions develop inside of the blood vessel walls. But the reality of it is, while we have shared that it is the result of too high a salt, because of there's the dehydration in the tissue, lack of water causing the tissue salts and electrolytes to increase and become more concentrated. And so as a result of that, then cracks and lesions form. To combine with what Dr. Matthias Rath says, how he views it just strictly a vitamin C deficiency and so on. Yes, there is a vitamin C deficiency. Yes, there's a loss in vitamin C because vitamin C holds the cells together. So as our cells die off prematurely, then we're losing vitamin C. You see what I'm saying? So his viewpoint of looking at the situation is correct as well. So vitamin C then is being lost as the arteries develop cracks and lesions and result in our liver, as Dr. Matthias Rath puts it, that our liver builds cholesterol molecule and sends it to the areas that are stressed, that are deficient. And typically how we look at it from a body chemistry point of view, usually what happens is as we look at it from progressing to the plaque formation and build up, usually before the cholesterol deposits form, what we see is, number one, there's a high urea, too much protein, too much nitrogen, toxicity in the system, and nitrogen in excess tends to thicken the blood, thickens the fluid. And when that occurs, then the circulation is impaired, and you have the high salt combined with that high salt affecting the tissue, especially in those areas where the circulation is sluggish. So there's more issues with the salt concentration. And so the deposits occur, and nature sends the cholesterol molecule in those areas and forms deposit upon the walls of the arteries. And because nobody is listening, typically we are too busy with our lifestyle. We are absolutely so busy today that we don't pay attention with what nature is telling us. So nature continues to build cholesterol molecule and sends it to those particular areas. And what happens is that in nature's attempt to repair the damage caused by high salt, what happened is that, unfortunately, an artery get clogged up, the heart, the brain, or somewhere else. So I here's Dr. Matthias Rath's quote. I know we're talking about vitamin C and the immune system. This is just a side point as it relates to vitamin C, but just want to share his quotation here. He says, "Heart disease is not primarily the result of an abundance condition such as high-fat diet, rather than a deficiency condition, too low dietary intakes of vitamins. The first step is the development of cracks and lesions in the inside of the weak blood vessel walls. The coronary arteries develop more cracks and repair due to the great mechanical stress on the coronary arteries by the pumping heart. The second step," he says, "is the attempt of the body to repair these cracks and to mend the weakened vessel walls. For this purpose, cholesterol and other repair factors, called risk factors, leave the bloodstream, enters the blood vessel walls through these cracks, and are deposited inside of the vessel walls by the thousands. Unfortunately," he says, with too low vitamin intake over many years, this initial beneficial repair mechanism overshoots. This is when the problem starts. With continued repair over years, fat molecules and other repair factors accumulate in the inside of the vessel walls. Atherosclerotic deposit develops as nature's plaster cast for the weakened vessel walls." The final paragraph, he says, The question is legitimate. Why would nature produce a molecule that kills millions of people by accumulating in the walls of the arteries and by causing heart attack? The answer is strikingly simple. There has to be an advantage to lipoprotein A, to its thickness, to its cholesterol transport, etc. We know already what this advantage is. Repair. Lipoprotein A is nature's top repair molecules. Only if this repair goes on for too long will this repair molecule turn into a risk factor. And only then will the advantage turn into a disadvantage. It's so simple and logical. This is from his book, Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks But Humans Do, by Dr. Matthias Rath, MD, page 23 and 25. So there he sums it up. The important thing is to note then that the issue with the plaque, again, we're focusing on vitamin C, but I'm just off on this point because it does relate to vitamin C. The issue is the liver is producing that cholesterol that ends up on the arterial wall. It just doesn't automatically come in through the diet and go straight to the arterial wall, even if it seemed that way. But it's an intelligent action of nature designed to repair the damage caused to the arterial walls. That's why the cholesterol molecule are deposited on the blood vessel walls. So as we understand it, so when the salts are lowered, friends, what usually happen, and you keep it low, nature repair the damage in the cracks. And as nature repair the damage cracked vessel walls, then nature will remove the cholesterol molecules away from the area, just as intelligently as it deposited it there. And so the artery may be blocked today, but it doesn't mean that it has to be blocked forever. Now, the issue is people get heart attack, apart from those who are smoking, are generally not drinking water. Smoking in and of itself will damage your arteries and so on and so forth. All right, so that's dealing with the heart attack situation where, as it relates to vitamin C. So vitamin C forms the chelating substance that bind our cells to cells. Most people is familiar with vitamin C as it relates to the immune system. And certainly at this time in the year, we want to boost our immune system. And you know, one of the things one has to do to stay on top of the situation is, number one, to drink plenty of pure, soft water. That benefits the body all over. Just imagine, friends, our body is made up of so much water that without it, it creates a serious problem inside. So if you were to look at a 100-pound weight person in perfect health, I'm not talking about, you know, just not feeling pain or feel good, but in perfect health, mathematically, their equation is perfect health. Such a person would have 25 pounds of mineral and 75 pounds of water. And because water, a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds, a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds, that would, you can figure out how much water, how many gallons of water that person would have in that 75 pounds of water, which equivalents to about nine gallons of water, and 25 pounds of mineral. 60% of that minerals is calcium. That's how much calcium our body uses. Our body uses more calcium, more by weight and volume, more than any other mineral. Okay? So those are some information. This is relevant in the sense that in the sense that we try to see how long we can go without water. And some people go all day without water, and then in the evening, you know, the common excuse is, you know, well, I'm going out, I'm going to be in town, and I don't like to use people's bathroom, or there's no bathroom facility to use. Those excuses are good and well, but the reality of it is, our bodies need water all day long. At least it is better for the body to get a smaller quantity of water spread out all throughout the day than for the body to get a quart of water in the morning, in an hour, and a quart in the evening. And even though your body may require 2 quarts and you're getting 2 quarts, but in reality, you didn't get the benefit of 2 quarts of water. You see what I'm saying? It's a similar situation with the soil, with the plants. A 2-inch rainfall fall over an 8-hour period versus the same 2-inch rainfall falling over a 2-hour period, which would be more beneficial for the plants, for the soil? Certainly anybody would guess the one that fell over an 8-hour period. Slow, keep the soil moist at a certain level, not over saturating the soil with moisture, is better than the 2-inch rainfall falling within a 2-hour period of time. Same thing goes for the body, and that's why a lot of people end up running to the bathroom as soon as they drink their water. They drink so much water at one time, and their body say, we need to go to the bathroom. We need to get rid of some of this. I can't use this. So those are some pointers, because water does relate to your immune system. As we view folks' immune system, we see water as being very, very important, because that affects vitamin C available to the pancreas or to the body in general. Another factor that is worthwhile considering as it relates to vitamin C is that vitamin C is an anti-inflammatory vitamin. I mean, usually folks who do mega doses of C do large doses of C, and whatever infection, whatever stresses like that, I heard of several physicians talk about this here, vitamin C will counteract inflammation within the system on large dosage. Okay, but again, you have to know yourself, know what and understand what you're doing before you try to do mega doses of vitamin C. All right. Now, the pancreas is supposed to produce the right amount of insulin, and you want to eat foods, of course, that gives a variety of nutrients to the liver, as well as to the whole body. But all the nutrients that come in from digestion goes first to the liver, and the liver has to distribute, even before it distributes, has to put those food particles, those energy particles, on the body chemistry, on the frequency of the body, so that it can become a part of your flesh and my flesh. So people generally don't eat a diet with a high variety, and that becomes problematic when it comes on to building health. It is a tremendous problem. People end up eating the food that they are accustomed to eating, what their taste buds simply like to eat, and so they eat oatmeal for breakfast this morning and whatever else. The next morning, they eat oatmeal and maybe biscuit or whatever they do. And then the following morning, they eat still oatmeal. And some 5 days a week, oatmeal is the only thing they eat for breakfast. Not to mention those who don't eat anything for breakfast at all. But the key to building good health is eating a wide variety of foods. a wide variety will allow for the body to have a wider variety of minerals and nutrients to build healthy cells. We understand our body requires about 84 different minerals in order to build healthy cells, in order to keep us healthy and well. So eat foods that are rich in nutrients and eat a wide variety. Don't simply eat it because your taste bud likes it. See, that's not a wise thing. That's not a smart thing. We have to look ahead to the dangers that perhaps may befall us, because in our sinful world that we are, you know, there's so many issues that can develop. Some of it you can do the best you can for a long time, and we still get issues. So we should do our part to care for the temple as best as we can, so that we can offset some of the disease issue that just tend to try to come upon us. Now, the other factor, which I've talked about some time before, so when we deal with the immune system, we deal with microorganisms, you know, those little guys that tend to try to overpower us. But I want to suggest to you that we have more to fear from within than from without. An unhealthy lifestyle, a dirty blood, has more problem to fear in and of itself, developing enough microbes from within your own tissue than from getting it from somebody else. Because the situation is, if your cells are unhealthy, if your cells are losing energy, if your cells are dying off prematurely because of a poor lifestyle, then Dr. Antonio Bichamp, he discovered some particles that is in all living tissue, all living cells. And he found out that as the terrain, the environment around the cell changes, as the environment within the cell and around the cell changes, as a cell loses energy, then these tiny he calls them microzymas, some people call them ferments, they evolve. They go through an evolutionary process, and the evolution process is depicted as going from the microzymas, germs, viruses, bacteria, yeast, fungus, and mold as the end stage. Several research scientists over the years have verified these kind of stuff, which you can look at. The point is this: if you do not, or I do not, try to maintain a healthy body, then we have enough microorganisms that are generated from within. And if our immune system is compromised, then those microbes can have a party within our body and just knock us over. And thus we may say, those microbes surely caused me to get sick. But the situation is, we were sick before the microbes actually caused us to get sick. Because the terrain, the cellular environment, our cells are supposed to be healthy and well. But if they're not healthy and well, their tissue fluids, there are changes in the acid, the nutrition, the toxic level, and the pH balance within the cell. And when those change, a change in those factors is a change in the terrain that causes those tiny ferments or microzymas, as Bichamp called them, causes them to go through an evolutionary process. They call this pleomorphism. And this process, you can see at any instance, if you look in the, you know, folks look on the live blood cell analysis, looking at live blood, and they even are able to see the changes from one to another of these microbes. So it's not really far-fetched. But the fact of the matter is, mold is the end stage. Fungus is not a good stage. But friends, We have got to keep our bodies well and healthy. And how we do that, as we have talked about on this program from time to time, there are 8 principles which forms the laws of health. So those are nutrition, exercise, water, N-E-W, spelled new, and start, sunshine, temperance, which is self-control, and avoiding those things that are harmful and using the things that are good moderately. Don't overdo a good thing. Okay, so we have N-E-W, new, start, S for sunshine, T for temperance, A for air, you know, like fresh air, not just dead, stale, stagnant air. So that's where it comes on to where we try to allow some fresh air to circulate in our dwelling. We get as much fresh air because in reality, God put Adam and Eve out in the open air, fresh air in the Garden of Eden when he created them. Okay, so we have STA, sunshine, temperance, air, R for rest. That's why God gave us night. From the beginning, he created night for mankind. So rest is something that is very beneficial. And the other T for start, new start, is trust in divine power. That is the essence and the focus for existence, to be able to have a relationship with our Maker. You understand what I'm saying, friend? So apart from just one aspect, just vitamin C, this is the whole picture that would make up a healthy lifestyle, living in obedience, regarding the nutrition, getting plenty of water, getting plenty of exercise, getting sunshine, being temperate, self-control, getting plenty of fresh air, getting sufficient rest, and learning to trust in the midst of a storm. You know, there's so many storms that people experience in their lives. Many, many storms. They come in all different colors and shades. But you know, friends, if you learn to trust, if you learn to have a relationship with your Creator, and I'm not talking about going to church, because going to church is not synonymous with having a relationship. So many people go to church and they still have no relationship with their Creator. I mean, it should be that we do when we go to church, because it's a spiritual place where we learn to grow and et cetera, et cetera. But it's not always that case. And I'm very sorry. And so you can find the devil in the church just as much as you find God's people in the churches. You see what I'm saying, friends? But a relationship makes a big difference. So friends, while our guests did not show up, but we want to leave this with you at this season, at this time in the year, we want to encourage you to drink plenty of water, cut back on the sweets, and eat a wide variety of foods, so you can get more nutrients in the body, and as much as possible, adapt the 8 principles of health in your lifestyle, and it will go a far way to make you feel better, get stronger, and resist the diseases, the colds, the flus that come along. Friends, you can join us next week at the same time, and we will have a great time. We'll get our guests back on at a later time. Thank you, listeners. Join us next week. God bless.